Today we're talking about financing, the current state of affairs for commercial as well as residential financing. What does the current market look like? Can you get financing? What are the asset classes that are showing the most promise in 2020 and beyond? I've got a special guest who has many, many years of decades of experience in commercial and investment banking, a private equity, commercial real estate. That's Peak Financing CEO Anton Mattley. He's joining us now with a deep level of experience about all of this. Anton, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Clayton.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So when you look at the current landscape right now, I mean, here we are in late summer 2020, looking at this pandemic, this global pandemic. We see interest rates that are near record lows for most people. We keep hearing that at the United States, the Federal Reserve is just pumping as much money as they can into, you know, liquidity market to make sure that banks can keep lending and keep making sure that the lending is there for buyers. And it seems like that side of things has been fine. The other side of it is the American worker has been crushed, and we're facing evictions and all of that. So there's like two tales of two kind of economies right now. What are you seeing at Peak Financing at your company? Where are you seeing the most upside right now in the market?
Yes. So I think more than ever now, we see quite a bit of differences between the various asset classes. We are focusing on all commercial real estate on the financing side. But a big chunk of what we do is also related to multifamily properties, commercial multifamily properties, 5 units and up. And the interesting part there is for some of your listeners, they may be aware of Fannie and Freddie and HUD loans on the residential side as well as on the multifamily side. But certainly on the commercial side, it's a very important tool to get transactions going. And we have access to Fannie and Freddie loans that are still readily available. The terms and conditions are a little bit tighter and a little bit tougher than they were pre-COVID-19, but at least we have a very good availability of these loan programs. Comparing this to hospitality, retail, office financing, that's much harder because we do not have access to any agency type of financing there. And as you can imagine, particularly on the hospitality and retail side, where we have occupancy levels in hotels dropping into the teens in many locations. Retail, we also know that many tenants have stopped making their rents. You can imagine that on the lending side, there is a lot of pause there. On the multifamily side, the collections of rents have held up extremely well, considering that we have record unemployment right now. That's only has been supported by the stimulus checks initially, but then also with the $600 bonus unemployment check that the federal government was sending out. And luckily, I think now, at least for the time being, with the Trump administration, with their executive order to not pay the $600, but reducing it to $400, it's not as good. But it certainly is going to help the landlords in multifamily properties to cover the next few months.
Well, this is certainly a lesson. I hope Congress is paying attention. You know, they have been dithering on this. It's a word I've been using on my show quite a lot lately. We had the Democrats pass the HEROES Act nearly 3 months ago. Republicans in Congress kind of sat on their hands for a while, went on vacation. Then you had President Trump coming out with these executive actions. We'll see how much of it can actually get put in place. I think the $400 may survive. Well, it's hard to say. We don't know. But it certainly worked, right? These stimulus plans actually helped people stave off poverty. I'm really surprised, Anton, about the multifamily space. That, I mean, collections there have actually been pretty consistent, you're telling me? That's pretty remarkable.
Yes, absolutely. When you look at the reports that come out by by some of the largest industry groups. They show very positive numbers. They were down by a few percentage points, but not really that much. And here we talk mostly about reporting from the very largest multifamily operators, a lot of A-class properties and B-class properties. However, we also have a lot of syndication clients that are active in the C-class space. And also among those, a majority of them have seen still very strong collections. They may have dropped by a few basis points. In some instances, they actually have seen stronger collections. There are always exceptions, but as a general picture, it has been very positive, and there is no doubt that that bonus unemployment check helped tremendously. We also have to think about that in a lot of states we have still the evictions paused, right? Some of them have restarted them. So if we did not have these bonus unemployment checks, I think a lot of multifamily landlords would have been in a lot of trouble.
Oh, for sure. I think absolutely that's the case. And now we'll see what sort of a patchwork of eviction moratoriums. In my fear about the eviction moratoriums is that it's just kicking the can down the street. And I think, you know, I think it's absolutely right that we need some sort of rental assistance right now in this country. I know as part of the HEROES Act that the Democrats passed, there's $100 billion for renter assistance, and there's $100 billion for landlord assistance. Then you had Bernie Sanders come out and say, we should just do rent, get rid of rent altogether, cancel rent. To which I say, I get the sentiment. We don't want people homeless. However, if you cancel rent, there are people that still have to pay mortgages. So those landlords that own those properties that now the rent has been canceled, they still have to pay a mortgage on that property. So what do you see right now as far as defaults? You know, do you see a lot of people? Do you see a lot of businesses right now, a lot of commercial owners of those retail spaces, strip malls and other things? Are there a lot of defaults? Are they not able to pay their rent? What are they doing right now?
Yes, definitely. On retail space and hospitality, we have seen a massive spike in defaults. On the multifamily side, again, we haven't seen that much yet. Office space, it's not that big either. And obviously, when it comes to warehousing and distribution centers, they have been doing just fine in most instances. So the hardest hit landlords only are the hotel owners and the retail owners. And that is I foresee to come that continues for a while. On the multifamily side, as you have said, it's likely that we are kicking the problem down the road. And the reality is, even if the unemployment comes down into the low teens and the upper single digits, it's still a very significant unemployment number. And I think that ultimately has a negative impact also on the multifamily side. So I think the general guidance we should give to landlords in all spaces, but including multifamily, take the opportunity now where tenants are still able to pay to really streamline your operations, tighten your operations so that you're ready, that once collections really drop more significantly, that you have it, the ducks all in order to survive it.
Yeah, that's really good advice. What do you see happening in this retail space? I'm sort of worried. I remember growing up in the 1980s, and I lived in Pennsylvania, and there was a few strip malls near our house that kind of were just empty, and they had grass kind of growing up through the parking lot. You know, there was an Exxon station there that had just grass growing up pretty high up the side of the Exxon station, and it never, for like 20 years, it just sat there with grass growing up through it. No one ever touched it. There was a bunch of empty retail space at this one strip mall, and no one ever built anything there. They never rented it out. I'm just worried there's going to be ghost towns at these strip malls. In 2008, 2009, a lot of churches were able to come in and grab up some of those retail spaces in those strip malls, but there's not enough churches to save every one of these little strip malls. What do you think is going to happen, Anton?
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, I'm not an expert, and I don't have that crystal ball, but it's only very hard to fill all these spaces. I'm less concerned about the small neighborhood strip centers, right? Because you always need, once everyone gets back to normal, you need the nail salons, you need the pizza shops and pizza restaurants and all the other shops that serve the community on a daily basis. I'm more concerned about the larger strip malls, as well as the retail space that is in malls, as well as outdoor mall type of and mall environments, right? Where you have these power centers, where you have Best Buy and you have a Target and all that. And obviously, they may survive, but beyond that, you have a lot of these small retail spaces that typically have been taken up by franchises with the franchisees or the mom and pop operators. And for these, I definitely see a problem there. And when you look at, I live in Dallas, right, Texas, and north of Dallas in the Frisco area, it's one of the booming areas in the country. And even there, even pre-COVID, we have seen some of these power centers struggling in filling their spaces. Right. So now going forward with COVID-19, with a lot of mom and pop operators disappearing, a lot of franchisees disappearing because they cannot pay the franchises, right? And they lose money. There is definitely an issue there. What's going to happen with that space? I do not really know. I
Right.
think in some instances it can be converted into multifamily space. In the past, there was that movement towards workspaces, but we do not really know whether there is really that need of shared workspaces like WeWork and all the others. Going forward, I think we have an overhang of space there already too.
Right, everyone wants to
So
work from home at this point, you
that's
know. It's
right, yes. Yeah.
and you know, I saw the story of the day today, you know, is that Amazon is now in talks with the Simon Property Group, who, of course, the nation's largest owner of malls, to swoop in and buy up some of those vacant JCPenney stores and Sears
Yeah.
locations and to turn those into Amazon distribution centers. And isn't that ironic, right? That Amazon, the killer of the mall, the killer
Yeah.
of the retail space, it might end up becoming the savior of the mall as an anchor in some of those big box stores that end up like being at the end of each mall, Sears, JCPenney, or some of those big retailers. And you're going to have Amazon distribution centers in your malls now.
Yes, that would be really ironic. But you know, obviously, the economy, the way we operate and live, has been changing. So it's ironic, but I think that's if they can do it and can come to lease agreements that make sense, I think that's a perfect solution.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And look, in this challenging environment right now, hiring is incredibly important to find the right candidate for your job. Maybe you have too many applicants. Sometimes finding an applicant just takes too long. And how do you find the right candidates for your job? That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. They're amazing. So all you need to do is go to ziprecruiter.com/investing. That's right, ziprecruiter.com/investing. And they'll send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. But they don't just stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter makes the entire hiring process efficient and effective with features like screening questions to filter candidates and an all-in-one dashboard where you can review and rate your candidates. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. And right now, you can try it totally for free. That's right. Just go to ziprecruiter.com/investing. That's ziprecruiter.com/investing. INVESTING. That's ziprecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I want to talk about the financing part. Obviously, that's where you're an expert at with your company. Where do you see interest rates right now? Is it easy, hard, difficult? Is the government helping us get lending? What sort of, I know the Fed has been pumping just, you know, trillions of dollars in to keep the system liquid, to make sure that that sector is gone and strong. So what are you seeing from that perspective?
Yes, the government has helped tremendously, particularly looking back into March when we really came into a complete halt economy-wise, but also in the financial markets. It was virtually impossible for a week to get in loans closed, and that included in agency loans, right? Because everyone was scared whether they can get funding. A lot of the warehouse lenders stopped funding their originating lenders of loans. So for a brief period there, it looked extremely terrifying, but the government stepped in very quickly to pump liquidity into the marketplace, and that has helped a lot for certainly on the multifamily side, where we are back to normal when it comes to agency loans. Banks have continued to lend there, even though we see already a little bit of a trend where they are getting more conservative. It's less driven by multifamily loans that they have or that they're that concerned about adding more multifamily loans, but because they typically have retail, hotels, and other commercial real estate loans on their books, they obviously have to add to their reserves. They have to do some write-offs on those, and that tightens their capital, which means that they have a limitation of how much they can lend, right? So even though multifamily may still be their preferred area, they may not be willing to do that or able to do it. When it comes to other commercial asset classes like retail and hotels, it's virtually impossible to get financing place. If you can get it, it's a very low leverage and likely also through specialized lenders that charge a very high interest rate. I think there will be opportunities for buyers that have a lot of cash at hand to pick up some of the distressed loans and or distressed properties in that segment. But certainly when it comes to multifamily, it still has been pretty smooth sailing considering the situation we are in.
That's great to hear on the multifamily side. I'm just really worried about the hospitality sector. I'm really worried about the retail sector, you know, hospitality and hotels. I know they were largely, I know Sam Zell, of course, real estate tycoon, has said a few months ago, right as the pandemic broke out, he thought that the hospitality hotels were already overbuilt. And so do you think that this is like a leveling somewhat of the playing field and this tightening of liquidity for lending to put in hotels, this will just sort of help things out a little bit, get us back to a better baseline? Or am I being too optimistic?
Well, I think there will be a lot of people from owners to lenders that have to take a significant haircut when it comes to hotels, right? Either as an owner in equity or a lender on the loan side. I do not see any other way. There has been quite a bit of a boom pre-COVID-19 in the hospitality sector. And obviously, Sam feels that there was already an overbuilding. That's always hard to judge, right? Because occupancies really still held up quite well. So there was only that argument against it. But as always with hospitality, it's so much driven by the economy and it shifts very quickly. And I just cannot see that even once we go back to so-called normal, that the hospitality sector will pick up fast enough for let owners as well as lenders survive. So yes, I think there will be a resetting, and that resetting has to be done through write-offs both at owner level and lender level.
My biggest fear, of course, in this whole process was that there were going to be just a flood of foreclosures on the retail side and on the hospitality side, and that would tighten up liquidity. I mean, banks are not going to want to lend if they're sitting on all of this property that they've got to go through a foreclosure on. Do you see that happening, or is it already happening? Where are we at with that process?
Real estate is the velocity is really slow, right? So that's I think why we haven't seen it yet. But it's going to come. When you look at banks, they are building up their write-offs, and so far they have been able to deal with it. But as we move down the road, there is no doubt that we will see many, many more foreclosures in both hospitality and as well as the retail segment. And that's really where we get to the point where I think a lot of banks and other lenders, but particularly banks, the government will likely have to step in to support them. There is just no other way around it. That there are some banks that have very significant exposure to these two asset classes, and they need to be supported so that they can continue to support other asset classes that are in a healthier situation, but they do not no longer have the capacity to lend.
Once again, the government will step in and save the banks, save big business, save the airlines, and then the American people are literally on my channel asking, are we going to see another $1,200 stimulus? I'm going to be kicked out of my house. Again, it's a tale of two economies. Do you think, Anton, that this is going to trickle over into the residential space, that if we see this delayed flood of foreclosures coming in the next few months, but as you mentioned, it is delayed, the velocity is low. Is this going to trickle over on the lending side to the residential side, and therefore people won't be able to get residential loans? What's going to happen there? What does your crystal ball tell you?
Obviously I'm not an expert on the residential side. However, when you listen to some of the lenders, the largest lenders like Chase, they certainly have cut back quite a bit on the residential side very quickly. And I think their criteria to lend to residential borrowers has already tightened quite a bit. I'm pretty sure all the major players have done so. So as long as you are qualifying for a conventional loan, I think people are safe. But as we know, as the economy continues to deteriorate and as we have unemployment staying high, there is no way, in my view, that we do not have a significant slowdown in lending on the residential side, because there are less people that can qualify for these conventional loans. And when it comes to the non-conventional loans, lenders will have much tighter restrictions to still lend. So in other words, with the lending environment, in my view, tightening also on the residential side, real estate prices likely will also follow, right? We have seen that every single time. So it would surprise me if it were different this time.
Right. You got to study history. That's the key here.
Yeah.
Well, Anton has spent the last 15 years advising family offices, high net worth individuals, as well as private investment funds, helping them with direct their investments in commercial real estate across Europe and the United States. So you can check out everything that Peak Financing does. Anton, I really appreciate you joining us on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Anton. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and making us a part of your investing journey. Now, you know, this whole show is designed to help you become a smarter real estate investor and to be smarter with your money. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it is the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.